wife. You're right on time for a bad movie night. You've had a shitty day.
Without further ado, you are listening to the Bad Movie Night Podcast.
Yay!
Well said.
You like that? That's a callback from the last episode.
if you might recall.
That's how we roll on this show. Thanks for listening. My name's Aaron Vaccaro, and with me as always...
It's me, Nosley!
I can't follow.
I know you can't.
I'm
not even here.
You don't even exist.
I don't even exist anymore.
So, boy, oh boy, do we have a show for you on this edition of the podcast.
Not for the faint of heart.
This is our all-cyborg edition of the Bad Movie Night Podcast. And on this episode, we have some breaking cyborg news in the world of television.
Thank goodness.
I know, crazy. We also have, we'll be discussing the best of the worst of movie cyborgs, and we will be capping things off with a review of a little gem we like to call Manborg. But first things first, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do so by emailing us at podcast@badmovienight.com. That's NITE.com. You can follow us on Twitter at badmovienight.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/badmovienight.com. And you can also get everything you need from our website, which is www.badmovienight.com. All right, so how's
everyone doing?
Without further ado, how are you all doing?
Meh.
Yeah. I'm all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, it's almost...
Nobody
it's
cares.
It's not almost Friday, but we're getting there.
It is, yes. Anyone seen any movies recently?
No.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to be mum on this.
Oh, this is going to be a very short segment. Then,
I know.
I don't think I have anything. We did just finish watching the House of Cards show on Netflix, which is very good if you get a chance to watch that. You should see it because it's going to sweep all the award shows this year.
Oh, wow. Breaking Bad's not going to beat it?
Actually,
Breaking Bad will probably go for the next season.
Yeah, it's probably going to win. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to sweep everything, but I think Kevin Spacey's going to win for
probably.
It.
Probably. That guy wins everything.
I think it's going to win a lot of awards, and it's kind of a big milestone because it's kind of like Netflix's coming out party, and it's them like showing that they're a real force to be reckoned with. And interesting enough, I think it's going to have a profound effect on the network TV model as far as, you know, binge watching shows and putting shows out at once. I think it's kind of like they have to adapt or die.
Isn't Arrested Development even talking about doing more episodes and seasons now?
Yeah, they're in discussions to do a fifth season of Arrested Development on Netflix as well. So,
oh, good.
We'll see. And you know, everyone's raving about Orange Is the New Black.
I have seen that. I will say that.
Oh, you've seen them all?
I've watched everything. Well, I watched the bulk of the chunk. I kind of sat down when Katie was in the middle of it. So,
okay.
I think I've seen episodes 3 through the second to last one.
Okay. I hear it's great.
It's quite good.
Yeah.
It's quite good. I think it's nothing you can say that's bad about it. Everybody's really solid. It's funny. It's sad. It's dramatic. It's everything. It's a really good show. I did just get completely caught up with Mad Men season 6.
Ooh.
That's what I've kind of been when I'm on
season 6 was the most recent one that ended, right?
Yes.
I don't know how I felt about the last season.
I loved it.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. I just thought it was a little off for me.
That's how I felt about 5. I thought 5 was off. I thought 5 was weird and strange, and it was just Fat Betty, basically.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, 5th season was off,
Fat Betty.
Eat
that ice cream. Whoa,
I just feel like there was too many, like...
Shenanigrams?
There were shenanigrams.
A lot of shenanigrams.
Speaking of shenanigrams, I know that we're talking about television series rather than bad movies, but it's must be said about Mad Men.
It does exist.
It must be said.
Without further ado.
So it must.
I don't know. I felt like because there was so much going on in the scenes where they were at Sterling Cooper, like everything was just kind of chaotic. And it felt kind of like shenanigrammy whenever the scenes at the studio.
I like that you managed to make the word shenanigram even more ridiculous by saying shenanigrammy.
But it makes sense, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
more
yeah.
shenanigrammy.
yeah.
And I thought the love affair between Don and the Linda Cardellini character mm-hmm. was a little overdone. I don't think that was really necessary. I don't know. There was something off about it. It was good, but
I think what this show is, it's like Breaking Bad. It's multi-layered.
Right.
I mean, I think Mad Men is not as deep in a lot of ways, but it is in others. Like, I feel like the season 6 completely reflects the changing of the guard of the times.
True.
More than the previous seasons.
Yeah. I mean,
from season 6 opening, they're all dressed different. The hair's long. It's comedic, to be very honest.
Yeah, the sideburns.
Everybody's just, you're like, what the f-?
It's like, how much are you convinced that Pete is going to become, I think Pete's going to become like a fucking total like Woodstock hippie. Like, he's going to just disappear and go off into like an acid trip.
No, I don't know if he is or he isn't.
I'd like to think he is.
I mean, it's season 6, I mean, it's the downfall of Don Draper.
Yeah, crazy. Which,
it's interesting, you know, it's like, everybody else is like, I don't know, I think what you're thinking about is like, it's very fragmented.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens to a show when it gets to season 6 and 7. You have so many characters and so many stories, and I think that it's just the problem that you have to have.
Yeah.
Mad Men has this idea, I don't think they like, I think they love their characters so much they like to kill them off.
Yeah.
So it's hard for them to do that. I feel like I don't think Matthew Weiner really wants to. The last character.
Or where will they go?
That's all I have to contribute to this.
Oh, you don't watch our show.
You don't watch it all?
Oh, okay. Then we'll move on.
No. I like.
No. It's fine, Aaron. It's fine.
That's fine. That's fine.
The one thing I will say about Mad Men, though, and this is probably what I should do, is rewatch the season.
I thought we were done talking about it.
And this is the last thing I'll say. And then without further ado, we'll move on to the next thing. Is that it's one of those shows that I think it always serves to watch the episodes over, like, at least one more time. Mm-hmm. Because it's so, like, it's so subdued and so, like, subtle
yes.
that you miss a lot of, like, the genius of the show. And, mm-hmm. like, maybe I'm not catching things that I should be catching, so I yeah. should watch it again.
Definitely. But, yeah. This is my second time going through it.
Oh, okay. So, then, yeah.
Although, second time going through it, first time seeing season 6.
Oh, so you've gone through the entire series twice already?
Yeah. Katie had never seen it. And it took her, I'd say, four episodes to get fully hooked.
Okay.
The first one, she was like, what's going on? Who are these people? But by 3 and 4, she was just like, fuck. She had no idea it was going to be this kind of show.
Yeah.
She had no idea. It was not so, I mean, it is man-centric, but it's also not in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't know it was going to, basically her quote was, I didn't know it was going to be this sexy. It's exactly what she said.
There's so many ridiculously good-looking people on the show, and like so many, like, everything's just so dapper and. It's shot beautifully and like
yes
yeah so anyway
I will say that it is shot very nice
yeah
have you not seen you've seen some of it
I watched the pilot I fell asleep during like 3 times I was just bored
it's just yeah. not your thing
it's not my thing
yeah, yeah. it's not it's a lot of it's not yeah. a lot of people's things
yeah whatever. I mean,
not everyone can be cultured I'm not cultured and educated.
What do I say I'm a fucking simpleton
yeah.
All right, can we talk about bad movies, please?
Yes, let's go.
Bad movies. Right.
Actually, we're going to talk about a little bit more TV news.
Damn it.
That was our whole segue. That was
talk about TV.
From one TV thing to another.
But it's not TV. It's HBO.
That's right. That is true. That is an important distinction. Mm. So this is our All Cyborg edition of the Bad Movie Night podcast. And coincidentally enough, there was a news story in recent weeks about a adaptation of the Yul Brynner movie Westworld that is going to be adapted by J.J. Abrams and Bad Robot and is going to be a show for HBO, which is weird. It's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't seem like a thing HBO would do. It's a very kind of campy.
It's a Michael Crichton. Right?
Yeah,
so
Michael Crichton
that has
story.
Potential for
and,
me.
And the movie is like, it's.
I think it looked good. I kind of want to see that movie. Not
you,
good.
You haven't
and
seen
like,
Westworld?
No,
I've never seen
it.
I've never
oh,
heard
seen
of Westworld.
It
yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah I've
it's,
never heard of it until
already.
Today.
It's the movie from 1973.
I mean, I've only heard about
I
it.
Say you've seen it already.
Yeah, I got a sneak peek at it. No.
Nice screener.
I got an advanced screener copy.
Yul Brynner came back from the dead and showed it to me personally.
It's got some interesting stuff in it. Overall, it's kind of cheesy, but...
Super cheesy. That's kind of why I won't
see it. Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of per... I mean, it's totally a movie that would appeal to our audience, so...
Yeah.
But I mean, there's some big names behind this adaptation. J.J. Abrams, Jonathan Nolan, brother of Christopher Nolan, right. Who's also the creator of Person of Interest, and Jerry Weintraub, who is a producer who's, I mean, just IMDb him. He's done a million things. Most recently, he did the Behind the Candelabra movie for HBO, which is very good if you guys haven't seen that. But yeah, so I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to be turned into a TV show, since for those of those people who don't know what Westworld is, it's basically a Wild West theme park that's essentially filled with cyborgs, and it's, you know, robotic people that
you can come and, like, live out. It's not just a Western world, though. They had, like...
They have different ones.
The Roman, ancient Roman fantasy. Then they had like the.
It takes place in the future,
right? And it's like a dystopic, like kind of like there's cyborgs that you can basically make them do anything you want,
right.
And so you can go live out your fantasy.
Concept.
Oh, great! I love this.
It's an awesome
Michael
concept.
Crichton, usually for the most part, can do no wrong. And
His writing can do no wrong.
Right.
But
no.
Adaptations
of Michael Crichton, can fail miserably. But his concepts are always really cool. I feel like the only thing that's against this movie is that this idea has been done a lot. Like, the cyborgs that turn against... Like, everything seems so fine and dandy.
Right.
And, like, you're using the cyborgs. The humans are just using it for, like, hedonistic, you know...
True.
Indulgent reasons, and then they turn on you. So it's been done a lot. It's good in movies. I don't really know how it can be done in a series.
Well, strangely enough, it was a series back in 1980. Very short-lived.
Oh, well,
but they
there you
did.
Go.
But that was kind of coming right off of the heels of the first movie, and then there was a sequel called Future World in 1976, and then they adapted it into a TV series in 1980, but apparently it didn't go so well. But... I mean, look, if anyone could probably do it justice, it would be HBO and those names that are behind it. So,
sure. You know what I keep thinking of, though, when you think about this idea, is the Simpsons episode?
Oh, yeah.
Itchy and Scratchy Land?
Yeah. Smashy Smashy.
That's fantastic. Smashy Smashy, yep.
Yeah,
well, I wonder if that was based on
I think it probably was a nod to Westworld.
Okay.
Perhaps one
it's
of
so
the
funny
greatest
just,
Simpsons
was like,
episodes of all
it
time.
Just popped in my head.
Actually, now that I think about it, that like, face-off scene... That they have. With
When it screams?
Yeah.
It
and that's I think that's exactly taken from Westworld, if I remember correctly.
Fucking old school Simpsons, man. So brilliant.
Yeah, they really were. They really
it's
were.
It's like, man,
so.
Simpsons seasons 3 through 8. God.
Yeah.
3 through 8, 7, 6?
No, it was more than that, actually. I think
it's
like
that was like the solid chunk middle.
Seasons 3, I would say to like 9 or 10.
Wow. What are they on now? 20?
Like 25.
Jesus.
Because it was 88, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah,
goodness.
No word yet.
We are old.
If this will make the HBO schedule, I think they're pretty much they're shooting a pilot of it, I think, right now.
Is it wrong that this upsets me that this is going to HBO and then the Marvel Avengers type show could have gone to HBO and we could have got something closer to the movies?
I know.
Yeah.
Rather than something that that's going to be canceled after season one. Cause
I feel like Game of Thrones.
A bajillion dollars.
But I think Game of Thrones is, like, totally eating up, like, HBO's budget right now.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Game of Thrones costs a
$6 million an episode. I was watching it on the writer's room. I was like,
oh
my God!
But, I mean,
it's a good show. I like that show.
Does it make... How does it... You know what I mean? Like,
I think it does very well for... I mean, I think that their
subscriptions... What's their
viewership? It's
hard
to gauge
right
on, like, those paid network cable in general, but...
But I know, like, everybody owns Game of Thrones Season 1 Blu-ray. Like, literally, like, everybody I know.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have this? You're fucking stupid.
I mean, it's got to be.
I don't know.
It's probably the...
I've read the books.
Would you say it's the most popular show since The Sopranos, probably? I mean, the one that's, like, must-watch TV. Like, a mass appeal.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had, like, you know, the Six Feet Unders, the Boardwalk Empires, ones that have kind
of
more...
I feel like Game of Thrones...
audiences.
Excuse me. came into a very buzzworthy like viewership. Mm-hmm. Like obviously it was popular to a very niche group of people who had read the books a lot, but everyone and their moms, especially like you see it on Facebook, they're like, I'm finally giving in, I'm gonna watch it. And right. then like 2 days later they're like, I've been at home watching it for like yeah. 3 days straight. Yeah. So yeah. it's like it got everyone hooked. So I think yeah, I think as
I'm
far
wearing
as
wearing a diaper so yeah. I don't have to get off the couch.
I don't know what any of this means. I don't know who these people are, but I'm hooked.
yeah.
Okay. So
that's yeah. how I felt. I mean yeah. I resisted it at first and yeah. then I fucking
I've only seen most of season one and that was it.
Man, you're and you're a fantasy
it?
Guy.
Well, it's
no,
not
No, but
real.
You're
it's
like not that much not, of a fantasy like that kind of
fantasy. No, I do like oh. that's that I would say it's low fantasy what I'm gathering.
That's and why I like it.
It not, is. It's and, fantasy and for the masses.
It's yeah. fantasy for the masses, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I don't know. I just didn't want to see Sean Bean die. Is that so wrong?
Spoiler alert! No, I'm just kidding. If you don't know about that now, then you've no,
I will say that's kind of what I love about the show. Is
they
that
don't give a shit.
They're not afraid.
I get it.
And I mean, that's what George R. R. Martin is. I mean, that's... In his books, he's not afraid to kill off like major
but, like,
characters.
Oh, yeah. That's almost my...
Oh, yeah. Wait
it's not my
for
problem,
it,
but it's like, who can you grab onto...
Right, you can't. It's
who's the anchor for your show and your story? Is there an anchor for your show? Like, does that make for a good show, or is it just like because people?
That's the thing.
It keeps you on your toes. Like, that's what I like.
But I feel like a viewership that's so used to having like someone to latch on to, like or someone to root for, and mm-hmm. like be like, oh, it's okay. Like this person's gonna be fine. Like. That novelty yeah. is not there in this show. It's or that luxury is not there in this show. So it does right. keep you on your toes. But I feel like there's a big resistance towards it.
Yeah.
Like when Sean Bean got killed, it was crazy. Like everyone's like, "What the fuck?" When in the Red Wedding, which was from this past season, like
one of the greatest hours of television.
Oh, fantastic!
I mean, specifically one of the greatest 10 minutes of television.
Yeah.
Somebody kills a whole bunch of people, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was a total ambush, like, didn't see it coming kind of thing. And so now – and that's the other thing about this show is that it basically leads you to a point of, like, thinking you're going to expect one thing, totally gets turned on its head, and then it's kind of like a reboot for the next season.
Are there
so,
any characters who don't die?
So far, yeah. There's, like
– There's so many fucking characters.
Yeah,
they can't all die.
Jon Snow?
Yeah. Is he alive?
Yeah, he's alive.
Oh, I'm okay.
For now.
He was cool. What about his fat friend?
Sam? Yeah, Sam is.
I hope Sam does he become a badass?
You'll have to find out.
He's gonna
You're going to have to watch it.
I'm going
to
kill him.
I have a feeling he becomes a badass.
Well, Sam's a slayer. He killed one of the White Walkers.
Yeah.
At least HBO takes chances on shows. I mean, from
Carnival
to the... What was the... The West.
Deadwood,
yeah.
Just different
Curse and
shows.
Cowboys, that's what I like to call it. It's just a show about it. It's just a cowboy show, but it's just really odd when you hear them saying fucking shit. And I couldn't watch
Sam Hill and
yeah.
Tarnation.
It was like so like, it just felt strange.
Fargan.
Yeah.
I just hope they kind of learn their mistake. I don't know if it's a mistake, but because both Carnival and both Deadwood got cut down right as like the shows were getting to like their meat, what the show is all about and what their season like it wanted to get to a season four like Deadwood is season four, Carnival needed season three. I don't know because it's like what is it? Is it the devil? What is the? And it's just no, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, God dang it! It's just a lot. And maybe I think with Game of Thrones, I think they're so invested in it that they're just gonna. I think they're gonna ride it out, even if it's a loss for them, which I don't know if it ever will be.
Yeah,
I think they're just so committed to that show now.
Well, they better like
it's like they're it's like the masthead of HBO now.
I will say between season one to this was just season three that ended.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Their budget's gone up exponentially. Like their season one, they didn't have a lot of money to work with. They were really kind of
and there weren't that many locations that they needed to shoot in. I think after.
Well, I think a lot of that too was that they couldn't shoot in a lot of locations because they only had a finite amount. I mean, the amount of money they had for the production budget was very minimal.
Yeah.
And I think now, the handcuffs are off, and now it's a proven hit, and now they're able to spend $6 million an episode and make an hour-long movie every week. You know, an hour-long...
And once the next book comes out, I mean, it's... And George R. R. Martin better get his shit together and finish that fucking book. But, that's only going to help them, and it's only going to build more of a buzz for an already... huge mass market appeal show.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna ride it out.
But we digress.
Yeah.
This is not the
J.J. Abrams, blah, 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 and fine, great.
This is the cyborg edition of the Bad Movie Night podcast. So stay tuned. We'll see how this develops, this Westworld adaptation. If you get a chance to check out the movie, you should. I don't know if it is streaming on Netflix, but it seems like one that should be. But all right, let's talk about the best of the worst of movie cyborgs.
Yay.
For people who don't know what a cyborg is, here's the clinical definition. A fictional or hypothetical person whose physical abilities are extended beyond normal human limitations by mechanical elements built into the body. There you go. So it's a
Couldn't we just say it was a robot that looks like a person?
Yeah. It's part robot, part person. You know, yeah. So it's that's what a cyborg is. So there have been lots of cyborg movies throughout, I guess probably from the 60s on, some lesser-known movies from the 60s, but I think they really kind of, the cyborg movies kind of came into their own more so in probably the 80s and 90s.
Right.
With some really bad ones, including some ones with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Called Cyborg.
Called Cyborg.
Which I thought was a great movie.
Yeah, it
great
is.
Great bad movie.
Great bad movie, for sure. But it's yeah, what are some of your guys' favorite bad movie or good movie, you know, what have you, of movie cyborgs?
You know, can I say the one I hate the most?
Yes. Sure.
Jason X. I hate that movie and I hate that character more than anything in the world.
Wait, he was a robot in that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Or a cyborg, what? I should say?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Then I agree with you, even though I haven't seen
Man,
it.
Man, I guess I didn't remember that he was.
Jason X.
Why did they make him a robot? Because
they wanted to send him to space. That's what you do in a series.
Oh, right.
Jason X, I think this movie sat on the shelf for, I think it was 3 years.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken. I don't know how long it was, but I remember watching this in the theater. It's a travesty of a film. This is a TV, one of my other, and I do love this show, and it's one of my favorite shows, but the reveals and these characters is the most bullshit thing, and I think it was just
them. Small wonder?
No.
Oh.
No. All the Cylons in Battlestar Galactica.
Oh.
Not all of them, but how they're like characters that were guest stars and people you didn't give a shit about all of a sudden become the main focus of your show, and it's like, that's cool. Maybe you like them and they're cool people and you want them in your show, but then, I don't know, it was this weird thing that I don't know if I ever really got used to, and I think I just accepted it because the show was good and well written, and I was like, I accepted it based on that, but it always fucking bugged the shit out of me. They're like, and the dark skinned Persian girl who's really hot, and you're like, where was she season one? I don't remember her.
She must be a Cylon. She's a Cylon.
You're like they started off. They started off with, you know, they have the Asian girl, everything, and then you're like, okay, and then it's just, I don't know. It just said that like every 5 seconds, somebody else was a Cylon. You're like, fuck, where is nobody a human? And then, have you guys watched the show?
No.
All I saw was the, that like miniseries that started the reboot of the series back on.
Was Edward James almost a cyborg?
No, but
dang,
I think that
it.
They even
I'm
teased
not interested.
That he, like, there was like, I think there was an episode, I don't remember. There might've been an episode where they teased like everybody's a fucking Cylon. It's just like, shut up.
Are the Cylons the bad guys?
Yes and no.
Oh, tricky.
Do you want to know the whole twist of it?
No.
If I can't remember it all, we're all Cylons. There. Take that
Whoa.
Shit to the fucking bank.
Yeah,
yep. That was the sound of my head exploding.
Yep.
Well, you seem very passionate
I think that's
about
right.
it.
I don't even remember. God damn it.
The opposite of what a cyborg would be.
No, they basically, the Cylons and the humans start working together for a common good to get to this planet they think can, like, to reestablish the human colony, the human life. Mm. And where do they come? Earth. Oh, so basically we're descendants of, like, them, and they matriculate among that, and so we're all spread through, like...
Oh, so it's
they
like
land,
a prequel to humanity?
Yes, they land on Earth, and there's, like, aborigine people and, like, prehistoric-type people, and, or I guess they're... I wouldn't say prehistoric, but they're, you know, not very established civilization.
Yeah.
And so that's where you kind of get the idea that, like, oh... So we start just kind of melding. We're all one. We're all fucking Cylons. And you're like,
bullshit.
Wait, so let me ask you this, though. So supposed to be that Battlestar Galactica has all been taking place in, like, the very distant past. Is this, like, the start of the human race?
It's a different, yeah.
Okay.
It's somewhere else.
That's interesting, because, I would have always thought it was a futuristic show.
I mean, technically.
Time doesn't exist in space.
Yeah.
That's true.
Especially,
or, like, it's a different dimension.
Time doesn't exist in space when you're not focused on Earthlings. You're just focused on people space. In space.
Yeah.
Space people.
Just gotta appreciate space, man. Just be in space. Well, I just thought of Small Wonder. That was a good show about a cyborg daughter slash maid.
I used to get mistaken for Jamie in that show.
Oh my god, you did not. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Look up a picture of Aaron McCarro as a child and look up the picture of Jamie, the child.
Do a side by side comparison.
She's a small wonder, lovely and bright and soft curves. She's a small wonder.
Well, I was looking through the list that you guys, that we were going through. I didn't even really think about it. I don't know why. And this is a movie I've seen probably at least 50 times, is Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't put two and two together that, yes, he could be considered a cyborg.
Yeah.
And I will say he is one of my favorites.
It's great. It's, great performance, great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking and beautiful.
Oh.
I cry every
Vincent
time, even
Price's
though I've seen it.
Movie.
Anthony Michael Hall's a dick. Good.
The worst.
Should have been Anthony Michael Hall's last movie.
But alas, no, it wasn't.
What else was he good in after that, seriously?
Terminator, obviously. I've one of the people who, and I think a lot of people subscribe to the notion that Terminator 2 is better than Terminator 1.
Yeah, you're not going out on a limb on that.
No, not at all. And I'll say that T-1000 is an awesome cybernetic organism.
Yes.
Yep. And I'll leave the rest to you, buddy. That's
well,
what I feel.
I mean, there's an obvious one laying out on the table that I'll go with RoboCop because
yeah, I was going to give you that one.
I'm a huge fan of the first two. The third one, Flying RoboCop, not so much. That first RoboCop, I mean, that's one of those movies that is a sit down
it's
and
classic.
Watch if it's on cable. And they show it all the time on Spike TV. And it's one that I will always sit down and watch. Peter Weller's, you know, probably his really only good role I think he's
what
ever
else
had.
Is he ever, I don't even know him in anything.
Nothing
else.
Memorable.
Just some TV here and then some movie. I'm sure he bangs around.
He
Rutger Hauer's it around.
Yeah, definitely. But it was just kind of a great build-up, I thought, to the transformation in RoboCop. That scene where, you know, he comes face... He's a cop for the Detroit Police Department.
Oh, my gosh,
and
just gets, like, blasted.
He comes face-to-face with this group of bank robbers led by the dad from that 70s show.
Kurtwood Smith.
Yes. And
as a villain, which is, or like as a really fucked up villain.
Oh
too.
Yeah, like a that's a
dark.
Super fucked up movie.
Yeah,
people think it's all like, oh cheesy RoboCop. No, there's some dark ass weird shit, in
violent
there.
Shit
yeah, it's,
in there.
It's ultra violent, and but yeah, that whole transformation into RoboCop and how he still has the flashes of the memory of his wife and kid. And you're really rooting for him because he has, you know, he was like
a good guy.
Yeah, he was a good guy, and it's one of those things. And it was just cool.
Yeah,
it was one of the most frustrating fucking Nintendo games you will ever play is RoboCop.
It's a hard game
where you just shoot a lot of dogs the whole time. But yeah, that's definitely up there for me. And one that, on the same token as Edward Scissorhands, that I didn't really think about was, have you guys ever seen Death Race 2000 from, like, 1975?
No.
I feel like we might have watched it for Bad Movie Night once.
We watched the original the new Death Race. We didn't watch the old one.
Oh, okay.
One. Yeah, well, we watched the Jason Statham one.
Ironically enough, Death Race 2000 is the original Death Race.
Yeah.
And it's, Sylvester Stallone's got a small part in it.
Yes.
And it's pretty amazing, but David Carradine plays the main bad guy in the movie. Let's not spend too much time on
that. Yeah, sorry.
Erotic asphyxiation.
He plays the villain in Death Race 2000, whose name is Frankenstein.
Awesome.
And he's a cyborg, and he's basically this badass guy who wins this race every year and gets, you know, in a car accident and stuff and can walk away without any damage, and everyone else in the race for the most part is humans, so he kind of has this unfair advantage.
Right.
And but he wears this black leather mask where you can only see his eyes and his mouth, and he's very un-David Carradine like because you're so used to seeing him being kind of like kung fu master, very zen like, and he's kind of nefarious
Kato.
In it.
No, it's not named that Kato. What was his character's name from Kung Fu?
Oh, I don't know.
Damn, never mind. I never watched Doesn't matter. That. He was not a cyborg then. Irrelevant.
We'll just say Bill.
Yeah.
From Kill Bill. But yeah, that was a pretty good one for me. And of course, you know, we can't talk about cyborgs without talking about Inspector Gadget.
I know. I don't know why I didn't even think about that. Oh, Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Gadget, definitely one of the, probably the first cyborg I was ever exposed to in my life.
Yeah.
You know, growing up watching the cartoon.
And a good one.
And a good one. Yeah, a good guy.
Except for the movie. Did you guys ever see the movie?
No, I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
Yeah, no.
It looked like it was just going to bum me out.
Yeah.
Fucking Inspector Gadget was the shit, man. He could do all kinds. He had all kinds of cool gadgets. He was never good at controlling them.
No, and he always got bailed out by Penny.
Yeah, but... And
what was the dog's name?
What was the dog's name?
Shit.
Awesome dog who was, like...
I want to say Astro, but it's not Astro.
Dog. But yeah, that was another one that was that kind of resonates in my brain.
I'm gonna go do a twofer. Daryl.
Oh yes.
Which is us, you know, being. I think that movie holds a special place just because we were kind of young kids when it came out. It was 87, I think.
Right? That sounds right.
I never saw it. I just always remember seeing it listed on. The TV Guide. I was like, what kid, is this fucking
That kid
Daryl
was hot
movie?
For 1 minute. He did Daryl and Cocoon 2, and he was like, peace, I'm out. But Tron,
oh,
which...
Yeah.
Brain is the name of the dog.
Brain, that's right. Yes.
Brain.
Tron is one of my favorites. The sequel, not so much, but I just love...
I really like Tron.
The sequel or the remake?
It's a sequel.
Oh,
it's a
okay.
Sequel.
I like... Actually, it's... The idea behind the sequel is fine.
Mm-hmm.
The way the execution... But the visual effects and the music.
Visually,
oh, fantastic.
Stunning.
Fucking kills it. The music is awesome.
Yeah.
And Tron is fantastic. If you've never seen Tron, and I think it kind of goes into that, into the Manborgian kind of.
Yeah, the look.
Yes.
The pokiness.
Yeah.
And the colors blown out. Obviously, in 82, for what you, if you watch it now, I mean, you look at it and you're just like, how did they even in 1982, how did they know
right.
to do, like, what were they doing? Like, how
right.
do you even, like, present that, like. Everybody's all lit up, and they're but everything's like in this cartoony world.
It's
what
kind of mind blowing the mind-blowing. Fact that they were able to pull that. Well, yeah, I will say the movie's a little slow in part, like, but it's such a feat of special effects that time.
And at the time, obviously, you know, mostly miniature effects and a lot of, you know, blue screen. I'm not sure if they even use blue screen. I don't even know.
Yeah,
but it's a pretty great movie,
and it's got the dude.
It does have the dude.
It's true.
A young dude.
And yeah. I just like that whole... I like the whole idea of, like, the 80s video games and, like, that... Which is such a concept that's so not 1982, that's so 2013 and beyond now.
Yeah.
Like, but it's set in 82. It's just... You know what I mean? Like, they don't... I don't think that movie, like, reaches... You know what I mean? It doesn't reach. It's like...
Right.
It wasn't, like, 1982, and they're like, it's 2013. And we can finally get inside video games. Like, no. It's now.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It
and
was a very outside-of-the-box movie for the time.
Yeah.
And... Nothing really came out that was much like it until they did the sequel.
And I think that actually serves as a good segue in talking about Manborg, because I think Manborg is, in a lot of ways, kind of has that same feel, as you were saying. I mean, it has that, I mean, obviously a much lower budget version of that feel. But I will say, as low budget as Manborg was, there were some pretty, like, impressive visuals for...
Pretty impressive
really?
Visuals. Stop-motion animation?
Stop-motion animation!
But is stop-motion animation really impressive?
I just...
No, it's more nostalgic than anything,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that it was there.
I think of the scene from Parks and Rec where Adam Scott, like, is not working.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
it's like three seconds.
And I'm like, I worked on that for, like, a month or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, so, you know, doing any kind of stop-motion is probably pretty difficult.
Yeah.
But, so...
Green screen
combined with
stop-motion animation.
The production of Manborg cost
$4.
$1,000.
I can believe that.
They've probably made...
Oh, infinitely more than that.
You think?
They probably anywhere from...
Well, I'm sure they made more than $1,000, but I don't know how much more
based
than
on the
that.
Distribution deal from Netflix, number one, how many screens of this they've... They probably had releases and like done like showings.
Yeah, DVD sale. I mean, they've easily made a shit ton of money off of
it. Does it say how much they made?
Which I'm so happy for them. I'm happy for them, but at the same time, it's like if any of us tried to make a movie for $1,000, we'd probably be laughed into.
Damn it, then you guys, let's just get El Ninja Picante out there.
I know we really need to
at this rate.
So what is when you guys want to sum up what man the premise of Manborg is?
So the main character, Manborg, we don't know his name when he's human.
Right.
He's a human, begins as a human soldier, and it's this futuristic war. They're against, I guess the gates of hell have opened, and they're right. fighting these evil demons, which is strange at the beginning because they're all using World War II regalia outfit and or equipment.
And weapons, yeah. Weapons,
and they're speaking as if it's, and they're like dressed like it's World War II. I guess, you know, when you only have $1,000. You go to this, what's it called? The sergeant something store? Like yeah, down the street?
Army surplus.
Yeah, that's all you get. And so his brother is killed, and then
Count Draculon.
By Count Draculon. Mm-hmm.
Who is the leader of hell, apparently. Or
Played by Adam Brooks, who also plays Dr. Scorpius, which is mm-hmm. pretty cool.
Right.
And
Dr. Sassafras.
He's also Manborg, and so Manborg, at the time, is a human. Sorry, got to preface that. Takes on Draculon as him, you know, tries to fight him and beat him, and he just kind of, Draculon kind of laughs at him, and then he winds up getting shot down by all of his other evil minions around him. Yeah. And then it cuts to black, and then he's not.
Someone is dragging, or yeah. something is dragging Manborg as a human.
And then we get this amazing title sequence.
Oh, that's a good title sequence.
I mean, it's an amazing, amazing stop motion credit roll. It's just. It's fantastic. And then it has 80s
movie written all over it.
Oh, this whole movie had 80s movie written all over it.
Which I love. Like yeah, it totally captured the feeling of like the 80s sci-fi action movie. You know what it reminded me of? Actually was the you'll know what I'm talking about. Nazi won't have any idea what I'm talking about. But the Far Cry expansion pack game that came out. The Blood Dragon.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
totally. I know exactly what you're talking about. No, I don't.
You have no idea.
Damn it.
Yeah, very much in the same way it was like paying homage to those 80s sci-fi movies. And but yeah, that opening title sequence was pretty rad. Now,
that's where $990 of their dollars went.
Probably. Did anybody else notice that Count Draculon, when you first hear him, he kind of sounds like he's a mixture of Rocky and Ivan Drago, if you like put them together and had
full.
And yeah. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's a nice little
And then
Rocky
at the end, and then when he's like towards the middle, when he's talking from the screen, he kind of sounds like Gary Oldman as Bram Stoker's Dracula. But yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes, he gets transformed.
Yes. And then he,
into a cyborg.
Manborg.
And yes, Manborg.
A cyborg named Manborg.
Right.
Which he just comes up on his own.
Yes.
So.
By looking at his hand.
He wakes
and
up.
His Borg hand.
Yes.
Manborg.
And he just wakes up coming out of this box thing, and he just kind of busts out into the street, and he sees it in this crazy, crazy future.
Can I ask a question? Uh-huh. Okay, so that's what I was going to ask is that, are we to assume that when he was in the box and built his Manborg, like he was in there for a
yes.
substantial period of time?
Yes.
Okay.
The demons from hell have taken over Earth.
Okay. So the beginning of the movie when his brother gets killed, that's kind of like the beginning
the
of
war.
The battle.
That's like the
okay.
invasion. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they obviously get their
okay.
asses handed to him.
Right. Yes. All right.
And so now there's very few humans left.
And they're all like basically like prisoners
exactly.
or underground or okay.
Exactly. So then Manborg meets
number one man.
Right.
Number one man.
Liu Kang's brother.
AKA slightly fatter Liu Kang.
Yeah.
Overdubbed.
Which is
specifically and purposely.
With the best voice ever. Like
yeah.
the best like
the
dubbed over
just,
voice.
Tongue just, in cheek,
yeah.
dubbed over.
The fact that the entire movie is just it's good work. It's consistent.
Yeah, right. it's consistently tongue-in-cheek, it's consistently campy, there's never a doubt about, like, well, were they trying to do this to make it, like, cheesy, or was it just unintentionally cheesy?
The only weak point of that equation for me is the shenanigrams dude, the Australian guy.
Justice?
Yeah. Justice.
I love Justice.
No, I love Justice too, but there were moments for him where I was just like, okay, like this is just bad. Like it's not tongue-in-cheek bad, it's just like bad.
Wait, like what?
Like
I'm trying to think. I think it was like the dance thing, like he was trying to do like
no
the dance move and like
we're shooting the guns?
Yes. That to me, I know it was supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, and I just didn't think he did it well enough. Plus, his Australian accent was driving me crazy.
I think it was just so bad it was good. I mean,
yeah, that's what I think too.
I get it, but I think it was just obnoxious. And I have this thing about Australian accents, and I get that's why he did it. It was so obnoxious, but I had a feeling
you weren't gonna like this movie.
I liked it. I didn't like it nearly as much as you guys did, or as much as you like Pool Boy. But like,
see, I had a feeling this is very Pool Boy esque.
Trust me, I liked this movie way better than I liked Pool Boy. And that's a statement. But for the most part, I thought it was great. I thought the tongue-in-cheek, I thought, like, the best was when Manborg was, like, this is kind of jumping ahead, but he was, like, you know, when he was shackled to the wall and the guy was, like, interrogating him, and he just was giving, like, such sarcastically, like, dickish, like, one-word responses.
Yeah.
That part was, so. Like, it was so awesome and hilarious, but.
This is Manborg. Shame you're still just a man, though. Do you look forward to being pulled apart piece by piece?
Uh-huh.
I saw you protecting your friends in the arena. Would you like to see them begging for their lives? They are just as helpless as you.
Yeah, great.
Yes, super great. Execute the remaining prisoners. Except for prisoner number 7. Shadow Omega is one of our finest creations. A hybrid like you. She'll show your friends what pain really is.
Huh.
But you will be saved for when he returns.
Oh, yeah?
No one will be able to stop what the Count has become. Even you will beg for his mercy.
But yeah, so there were moments that I didn't think were that great, but...
The whole thing with the Baron just cracked
me. The Baron was the best part of that entire movie.
Totally.
Like, I loved him so much. I'll be in my trailer! Like...
Oh, it's a nightmare chamber.
I'll be in my nightmare chamber. And, like, it's just like...
He screwed it up again, Baron. He's, like, he's so hard
on himself.
What does she say? What does Mina say? I like death, or I want to go to hell, or I'll see you in hell. Oh, I'll see you in hell, or something
like that.
And he's just like, oh, well, yes, of course, I'd love to see you there. I was like, oh my god.
I love that he's like this. They made him this like neurotic guy. Yeah, you know, like super insecure. Yeah, it was such a great choice.
Watching their bodies bloodied and broken, scattered across the. Oh, hello. Who's this?
Prisoner number 7, sir.
Such a beautiful name.
That's not my name.
Yes, the perfect specimen. I'm sorry, prisoner number 7. Where are my manners? Are you comfortable? Can I get you anything? Or
I could get lost.
Yes, such a firebrand, too.
You are requested in the control room, sir.
What? Oh, yes. I have to do everything around here. Perhaps when your friends here are all destroyed, we can find a little more time to chat. I've got my own nightmare chamber.
I'd rather be dead.
Indeed, we have so much in common. Be seeing you.
He was by far my favorite character in the movie.
Oh yeah, hands down. Yeah.
I loved how everything was future. Future cassette, future lock.
Right.
Fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Take this future cassette. Yeah. Because regular cassette wrapped in something.
And I love that future lock is very easy to open. You just have to shoot it with a gun and
it's
it
very
opens.
Futuristic.
It's very futuristic. In the future, locks aren't that sophisticated.
So, okay, we have to continue with the story, with what the plot is.
Right.
He runs into Number One Man, and Number One Man and Manborg try to fight some of these bad guys, and they wind up getting captured. It turns out Number One Man just escaped this facility, which contains an arena where humans fight for the hell people's pleasure.
Like Gladiator. Right.
Like Gladiator.
Style, yeah.
So inside there is Number One Man.
Or Tron style.
Mm. Tron style. Oh, yeah. Shit. This Australian gentleman who is Kiefer Sutherland's stunt double is named Justice. And then his sister is Mina.
Who doesn't have an Australian accent.
Who doesn't at all. A Number One Man has a crush on her.
Which is great. Yeah. I'm so glad she didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't need it. And so they're kind of fighters in the arena, and so they kind of band together, and they band together in this arena battle. And Mina's fighting power is fantastic. She has, like, this
the
very
anime
thing going on, like, super fast moving and just
shing,
shing, shing, And
there's some very Scott Pilgrim-esque stuff. A little bit Scott, yeah. About her, absolutely. Like, and like some of the fighting stuff.
She looks
like
a Final Fantasy character.
Yeah, yeah.
And Justice's abilities is he has 2 six-shooters. It looks like some kind of laser weapons that he's pretty awesome with. Number one man is just a kung fu master.
Is he really? Is he that awesome with them?
Hey, yeah. He's a good shot.
He's a good shot because he just shoots like this.
Yeah, something willy-nilly.
We used to do this like when we were like 11 and 8 years old. Like just, yeah. Like, just shooting. Yeah, cool poses. Yeah.
Bang, so. Bang, 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 bang. Like I just imagine him doing that. But and then the Baron, who is our favorite character, is basically Count Draculon's like
overseer,
henchman, overseer. Yeah. Yet he's developed quite a crush on Mina.
Right. He's missing his eyes.
He's missing his eyes because number one man. And that's basically all you need to know until we find out. Because it's funny how at the point where I wrote in my notes, who created Manborg? ! Is when we meet Dr. Sassafras.
Scorpius.
who I kind of made have tuned out at his explanation of like why Manborg was created, but he's basically responsible for... It's the same reason
that Number One Man had to train all these hell spawns. It was that or be killed. And
okay.
So rather than die, he chose to...
But didn't...
No.
But didn't Dr. Scorpius say that he was responsible for the whole hell opening up?
He was making up. Right. He wanted to like make up and have like one last hope for humanity because he felt so bad about opening up this portal to hell that let all the monsters through.
But they didn't explain how he opened up the portal.
He was on his computer and he pressed enter.
Ew. I knew it!
He was like, control alt.
Sometimes it's just that simple to order, open a portal to hell. Man.
You know when you alt tab too many times and it's just, you're like, oh, what's this? Gate of hell? Okay.
Would you like the gate of hell to be run?
Yeah.
So then basically from there it becomes, you know, a revenge story for Manborg to take out Count Draculon and gear up for the big battle in an amazing montage sequence involving some little midget guy
who we never really
established where that guy
was so
came
ornery
from.
Too. She's like, I
thought he was the same character from Star Trek, the new J.J. Abrams one, the little frumpy little midget guy.
I thought it was
Peghead.
Oh, I thought it was.
You haven't seen the Star Trek?
No,
fuck no, I haven't either.
I know.
God. I thought it was the Indian midget dude from the
Willy Wonka
from the Tim Burton movies. Yeah,
oh, yeah that guy was everywhere for a hot minute.
Yeah. What happened to that guy?
He was the go-to midget. Oompa-loompa'd
his way out, man.
During that montage, or right preceding that, or right before the montage starts, when he puts the hologram out of Dr. Scorpius,
yeah,
that's one of my favorite lines in the movie, where like Dr. Scorpius like introduces himself, and Manborg goes, "Hi." And he goes, "Why are you talking?" And the hologram asks him why he's talking to him. Oh, Manborg.
But then, what gets me is, like, later, Manborg totally leaves, and the fucking hologram's, like, just still there. I'm
still
like,
there.
You can't. And then he brings in the other characters into the hologram.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
That montage
but
is...
His brother is like, how'd your brother...
Yeah.
How'd you do that? All right.
There's no heaven. I'm dead.
There's no heaven. He's just like
his last words when he died are, "There's no heaven."
Don't tell me that heart serum was the only one that you had.
It was. You're a hero, Manborg.
Hello, Manborg. Yes, it's me, Manborg. And I have someone with me who would like to say hello.
Hey, bro. It's me, your brother. Remember I died at the beginning. I just want to say you did great out there. There's no heaven.
So jumping the gun a little bit.
Yeah, sorry.
But
they don't know what we're talking about.
also in that montage sequence, the noises that Number One Man makes when he's fighting with the nunchucks. Amazing.
It's almost every line, doesn't he proceed with a some noise before every line's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's like some sort of like grunt type noise, yeah.
Mina.
So they basically have... Oh, shit. I forgot when they're making their journey
towards Count Dracula. Through the Bum Town.
Yes.
And like Justice is completely mortified at like how everyone's like, ew, why is everyone so dirty and homeless?
But there's also a runner storyline of how Justice isn't good at reading.
Right.
And
at all.
And when Manborg's gonna go use the elevator.
It says danger.
And he's like, don't go in there, it says danger. And then Manborg looks at him like he's a fucking retard. He's like, oh, it says elevator. Never mind. And he's like, oh, all right. But yeah, that was some good shit.
Can we back up to Mina's side story where there's like, in Count Draculon's group of henchmen, there's a chick who's a terrible actress.
The most uninteresting.
It's so uninteresting.
She did not want to bad
she
was guy.
A, yeah, uninteresting complete ginger. Stone-faced. I get it. You're trying to be like a henchman, like hybrid cyborg chick kind of thing. But just come on, a little bit. Was she supposed to be Mina's sister? Or like
what
lover?
What happened with that flashback?
Or,
what was that flashback?
It just seemed like the two of them were being torn
apart. Right.
So I don't know if that was like a sister thing or like a lover's thing or whatever.
I didn't really grasp on what that was either.
But then, so that's the flashback to kind of, you know, exposit, is that a word? That they are related somehow. And Mina disappears to go fight this
her.
Chick or to like save her.
Right.
And then
I think it's to save her.
But then the cyborg chick is too far gone, so she's just gonna try and kill Mina. And then she turns into like this weird like
stop motion animation.
She does it at the beginning too.
Okay, see, because I didn't understand what was going on there.
Count Dracula and his minions have like they're able to take
morph?
Over.
Oh.
Like because they do that with Dr. Scorpius too in the laboratory, like. He's able, he, like, shocks him or something, and he,
oh, yeah, they,
makes
like,
him do his
arms.
Bidding and stuff, you know. So, I think they have mind control powers and something.
But also, not just mind control, but,
like possession
they create,
or
like, a whole
do
new...
they refer to her as a, they call her a hybrid, right?
I think so,
which
yeah.
Which leads me to believe that somewhere someone fucked one of the hell people and that she's, like, a product of that.
Gross. No,
just,
I guess, yeah.
That's
or
what
hot,
well, yeah,
depending,
she moved...
you know, what side of the fence you're on. It's kind of a turn on to me.
I look forward to it.
So we have the big battle royale.
Right.
Between Count Draculon and Manborg. And Manborg wins with a little assist from Mina.
Mina.
Right, stabs him in the heart.
Right.
Okay, can I ask another question?
Nope.
So because... I was confused as to, like, the time span of this movie.
It's a little over an hour.
No, not the... I mean in terms of the chronology of how long Manborg was...
Under?
Had disappeared.
Oh.
I was wondering why Count Draculon looks so fucking different from when he did in the beginning. So it's just you wear and tear.
I think it's been, like, he's, like, become... It almost seemed to me like he had become too powerful and absorbed too much...
Darkness
and stuff that it had just because
he was like
white
faced, you know, creepy, scary Draculon at the beginning, and then was like black, like
well
burned,
done, crispy.
Yeah, like he'd been burned to a crisp, like Draculon.
That's the way I interpreted it. He's just like he sucked up so much energy. You know?
I just thought time had passed and he just looked different. I didn't.
That's
really...
how Dracula's age.
Yeah,
like, they just turned black. And
I thought it was strange because I saw him. I was like, wait, maybe that's not Draculon for like a hot minute.
Yeah,
me too. I was like,
and
I
was like,
he sounds like Draculon.
Yeah. That voice is pretty unmistakable.
Go to hell. Not yet, but soon I will bring hell to you.
The Baron's voice was still the best, though.
Yeah, totally. And so Manborg defeats Count Draculon, but in the process, Mina does get killed.
Correct.
She gets killed.
Yeah,
with a blast of
she
energon.
Gets blown to the chest by Draculon's
some kind of energon blast. He says, and "I'm like, what? How do you know that?"
Can I ask another question? Because I'm really reading into this movie a lot and giving it much more credit than
that's
it deserves.
That's usually my job.
But didn't Manborg's arm get like soldered off basically, and then he was carrying Mina at the end? That bothered me.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Thanks for ruining the movie for me.
The one weakness in the plot is that.
So, Manborg is alive, but Mina's dead. But then Manborg sacrifices himself by giving Mina some of the heart fluid that he has that was foreshadowed by Dr. Scorpius during the hologram sequence. Right. That, you know, you have something inside you that you'll know when to use it because the time will be right or something along those lines.
It's his matrix of leadership.
Yes, exactly. Mm. And so he pours it in Mina's mouth. Mina comes back to life. But of course,
Manborg,
being the martyr that he is, Manborg perishes. But
not before finding out from his hologram dead brother that there is no heaven.
No, but the best was I wrote down the brother's whole line. It's, hey, bro, it's me, your brother.
Remember
when I died in the beginning? I was like, that's amazing. And then it's, there's no heaven. And then it's so sad. Manborg, like, as he's dying, he's like, there's no heaven.
Yeah, like, shut his eyes. They might as well have just like smothered him, like
just snuffed him out.
Yeah. So,
Then it looks like the heroes are gonna fight more adventures, but you know, Manborg's gonna be back.
Yeah.
Right. So then the rest of hell starts popping out from
the battle. The battle rages on, which is weird because I would have thought after Khan Draculon
died,
everyone would be like, "Oh, sorry, we don't need to fight anymore."
Yeah. They'd be like, "You guys want to
tired.
Draculon's been bossing us around forever. I'm over it."
Yeah, exactly.
So, it was an hour long.
It was a fun hour. I will say this is the first bad movie that I've ever watched that I actually wished it would have been longer. I would have been fine with another extra 15, 20 minutes of this movie.
Hmm.
But, you know.
I was good with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Me too. I will say it was
nice and lean to where it didn't have any fat that needed to be cut off. It was a nice, tight hour and 2 minutes. I just wanted a little more Manborg.
Gotta wait for the sequel. I mean, it's only $1,000. I think we could just put that together between all of us.
I think so, too.
A sequel.
Yeah,
we'll, like, guys.
We'll talk to the producers and see what we can work out.
Yeah. Well, we are the producers.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm not very good at this producer thing. So that concludes our review of Manborg. Let's give the old Wheel of Misfortune a spin and see what we're going to be watching on the next episode.
I'm very excited.
I really like Manborg.
I'm going to name
my penis.
Oh my gosh.
Ninjas.
Oh shit.
What could it be?
Oh god. We're finally going to have to watch our first Uwe Boll movie. This is a dark day
it was bound to happen. He only has like 30 of them.
Yes, indeed. So we will be watching Blubberella, which
sounds like it could be fun. But it probably won't be.
Probably won't be.
Is it about a big fat woman?
It's a big fat woman.
Big fat fatty?
It takes place during like World War II with the Nazis and stuff. It was a big fat bitch. I don't know. It got 1 star.
Does she roll on Nazis? Or
I have no idea. But we'll know a lot more next time.
Yes, we will.
We'll review it on the next episode of the Bad Movie Night podcast. So thanks for listening. And my name is Aaron Vaccaro. And with me as always,
Jeff.
Me.
Getting out of the tub, blam blam, the nature more ice cream, blam blam, whoa, fat Betty, 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 blam blam, fat Betty had a lump, blam blam, nothing wrong with the thyroid, blam blam, Betty only want a hot tea, blam blam, saving room.